This is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is scheduled to meet North Korean leader Kim Jong-un Sunday in Pyongyang, his fourth trip to the country this year. President Donald Trump last week pointed to a possible second summit with the North Korean leader following an unprecedented first meeting in Singapore in June. Plans for a late August trip by Pompeo to the North were canceled amid growing concerns over lack of progress toward denuclearization. But State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert Tuesday spoke of forward progress.
We continue to have these conversations, and I think it shows forward progress and momentum that the secretary is making his fourth trip back in less than a year. The first, of course, was as CIA director. This will be his third as Secretary of State. And that shows the president's commitment to the agreement that he and Chairman Kim came to at the Singapore summit.
North Korea's foreign minister last week told the UN international sanctions presented impediment to his government's goodwill gestures of ending nuclear missile testing and dismantling a nuclear test site. But Nauert signaled no change in current U.S. policy.
Sanctions remain in full effect, not just the United States sanctions, U.N. Security Council resolutions, and the other countries that fully backed those Security Council resolutions. All of that remains in effect. We are not easing the pressure in that regard at all.
Pompeo is also scheduled to visit South Korea, Japan, China. In Beijing, he's expected to discuss bilateral and regional and global issues with his Chinese counterparts. The visit comes amid economic and security tensions. First Lady Melania Trump was in Ghana Tuesday at the start of a week-long four-country visit to Africa. She was greeted by her Ghanaian counterpart, Rebecca Akufo-Addo, and a welcoming ceremony of drums and dancers. The American First Lady visited child health facilities and met with caregivers. She's focusing her trip on her Be Best campaign and improving children's well-being. This is VOA News. On Indonesia's Sulawesi Island, time is running out as rescuers dig frantically through debris, searching for survivors from Friday's 7.5 magnitude earthquake and tsunami that have now officially left more than 1,400 dead with hundreds more injured. Hundreds are still missing and tens of thousands have been displaced. The natural disasters felled apartment buildings, shopping areas, and entire neighborhoods. Roads and bridges are damaged or impassable, making access to isolated communities difficult. Matthew Cochran is with the International Federation of the Red Cross and Red Crescent Society.
The situations that the team described are incredibly difficult. It took them 1.5 hours to carry each of the bodies out to nearby ambulances, having to wade through incredibly deep mud. The sense from the teams who are working there, from colleagues on the ground, is one of real frustration. The access issues that my colleagues have spoken about are very difficult to overcome. There are still large areas of what might be the worst affected areas that haven't been properly reached, but the teams are pushing, they're doing what they can.
The government is attempting to airlift in humanitarian supplies and is attempting to beef up security to guard against looting. According to the Moroccan Navy and Spanish charity Walking Borders, at least 34 migrants, all from Africa, died in the shipwreck of their damaged inflatable boat in the western Mediterranean, apparently trying to reach Spain. Russia says it's delivered advanced S-300 surface-to-air missiles to Syria. Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu said the deployment, including four missile launchers, is aimed at protecting Russian military personnel. Moscow deployed the advanced system after an older Syrian missile battery mistakenly shot down a Russian reconnaissance plane with the loss of all 15 on board, believing it was an Israeli warplane. In Ethiopia, tens of thousands fled ethnic violence in the west. That violence erupted Friday in the Benishangul-Gumuz region after several local officials were killed during a visit to the neighboring Oromia region. In Armenia Tuesday, thousands gathered outside parliament in the capital Yerevan, led by Prime Minister Nikol Pashinyan, demanding early elections. The former opposition leader is opposed to the delay in carrying out those elections, approved originally by parliament in June. U.S. Central Bank Chairman Jerome Powell is upbeat about the U.S. economy.
The unemployment rate stands at 3.9%, near a 20-year low. Inflation is currently running near the FOMC's 2% objective. A wide range of data on jobs and prices does support a positive view.
U.S. stocks hit another record high Tuesday with the benchmark Dow Jones closing up another 122 points to 26,773. Japan Wednesday said it successfully landed a German-French observation device on the asteroid Ryugu using an unmanned Hayabusa 2 spacecraft nearly 300 million kilometers from Earth. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.